Hey friends, this is Jason. I want to tell you about our Sports Spectrum Daily Devotionals. And I know for so many of you out there, including myself, I am always looking to increase my relationship with Jesus. And in the morning, I spend time in God's Word every day, try to get God's Word into me, try to read from the Bible. But then I'm always looking for a supplement, another devotional, maybe it's an email devotional, something that I can kind of supplement along with my time with God and His Word. And the Sports Spectrum Daily Devotional is really a great place for that. I'm encouraging you guys to go check it out. You can go to sportsspectrum.com. You can click the devotional section, and they are right there. You can see each devotional each and every day, Monday through Friday, on Sports Spectrum's website. But what's even better is you can sign up to receive that devotional to your email inbox each and every day. And that's the best way. That's what I do. I sign up, it comes to my email, and then I'm reminded, hey, check this out. And it doesn't take long. It takes maybe 2 minutes to read, but each day I'm encouraged with a little word and a little devotional that can keep me going as the day goes on with God. So check it out at sportsspectrum.com. Click the e-newsletter section or click the devotional section and sign up for Sports Spectrum's daily devotionals. And we are also presented today here on Sports Spectrum by our friends at Water Mission. Go check them out, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean, safe water and God's love to people all around the world. I'm telling you, Water Mission is legit. You got to sow into this ministry. You will not be disappointed. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am Jason. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. Man, am I so fortunate and lucky to get to do what I get to do, having these conversations and bringing Jesus into the world of sports. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com, as we mention all the time on this show, with great content and articles and devotionals, all sorts of podcasts available at sportsspectrum.com. And of course, you can reach us. We'd love to have your feedback. We'd love to have your guest ideas. You can email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com, jason@sportsspectrum.com. You can also hit us up on social media as well, on Twitter and on Instagram, and DM us and let us know if you have a guest idea, someone that we should be talking to here at Sports Spectrum. Today, we're talking to David Carr. David is a wrestling champion in college at Iowa State with the Cyclones. In 2021, he was an NCAA champion at 157 pounds. In 2022, he finished third place, got the bronze, 157 pounds. And then last year, this past season, 2023, he was the runner-up. He got to that final match and couldn't close it, wrestling a little bit heavier at 165 pounds. He's a four-time NCAA All-American, a four-time Big 12 champion. He's actually got another year under his belt as well. He's going to come back next year and wrestle one more time, try to get that elusive national championship. His dad was a Cyclone legend and an Olympic champion, Nate Carr, and has served as David's coach. He certainly served as David's coach in high school and now as a mentor, I would imagine. And what a person to lean on if you're David Carr, knowing that your dad has had such an illustrious wrestling career. So David Carr is our guest, and this is one man who is bold and open and unashamed about Jesus, and that's why we wanted to have him on. And so this is David Carr. You're going to like getting to know the Iowa State Cyclone wrestling champion, four-time All-American, joins us right now at Sports Spectrum. David Carr, welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How you doing?
Doing great. Feeling blessed and excited to be on the podcast.
Yeah. When I first saw the name David Carr, I thought, man, this guy must get constantly asked about the David Carr that played in the NFL. Does that happen a lot with your name?
Yeah. So that's like when I was little, I always thought it was cool to have like, so like my dad, he's Olympian, multiple national champ, and he has like his own little Wikipedia page and own little thing. And so when you look up David Carr, the first thing that comes up is the football player. So I don't have like a unique name or anything that like where it pulled me to it. And if you write like wrestler or American wrestler or something like that, then I have my own thing. And I just thought that was funny. So like a lot of people would be like, oh, the football player, or I'll get tagged in things that have the football player in it. Like it's talking about David Carr, the football player, and I'll be tagged in it. And it's not me. So it's funny. All right.
I've met his family and him a little bit. He's a great guy, and he's a follower of Christ too. So there you go. So there's two David Carrs who love Jesus that are out there competing at the highest level, or have competed at the highest level in their respective sport. All right, I got to ask you this to start, because I was thinking about wrestling. I'm not the aficionado in the wrestling world, as you know. You probably have talked to some people who they eat, sleep, and live this sport. I am not one of those people. We talk to a lot of different people in a lot of different sports. And I'm doing my research on you, and it says that you have been a freestyle wrestler and a folk style wrestler. And I don't know what the difference is on that. So explain the difference.
Yeah. So freestyle wrestling is what we would wrestle in the summertime, basically. It's the Olympic level of wrestling. Mm-hmm. So in America, we're the only country that does folk style wrestling, which is college collegiate wrestling. That's what you see. That's why I just competed in this last season.
Yeah.
Freestyle wrestling is the Olympic style. So if I wanted to be Olympic champion, I would transition to freestyle. And so freestyle wrestling is the same thing. They just score the points a little bit different. So like I could throw my opponents and I could get 4 points. Where in folk style wrestling, what we do in college, it would be no points. It would just be like I could get a takedown or I could put him on his back. But the way they score the points, and then there's like a push out. So there's just different rules. In freestyle wrestling, every country, Iran, Russia, all over the world, they all wrestle freestyle. No one besides America wrestles folk style wrestling. And so, yeah, that's the different freestyle and folk style. So in folk style, I'm a junior world champion. Mm-hmm. And so that means U20. So that's age group world championship. So like you see like U20 basketball, U20 track, and or junior Olympics, things like that. That's what it would be. So, yeah.
So the training's not different though, right? Like you said, it's just the scoring. So if you were training for, you know, that when you won the junior world championship match, or even just recently with Iowa State, the training's not different, right? Even though the scoring's different, or is it?
There's different skills you would use. So like I'm the basics of taking the person down, scoring points like that, but there's some nuances and some little things that are different that you would have to practice. And the timing. So like in folk style, it's like 7 minutes. Freestyle, there's two rounds in the match where it's 3 minutes, 30 second break, 3 minutes. So it's just some little things that are different that you would get used to. But I mean, the wrestling training, lifting, all that stuff is similar. You just have some little things you need to adjust.
Okay, good. Little education there from David Carr here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. I saw you in a press conference right before the NCAA final this year. You finished runner-up in 2023 at 165 pounds, I saw. But you were wearing the 100% Jesus headband. And I thought, man, and you talked about, you know, putting your faith in Jesus and him being the reason that he helped you reaching the finals. I just love the boldness. Where does that come from? Where does the boldness in sharing Jesus, sharing about your faith come from, David?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a PK, which means pastor's kid. And so I kind of grew up in the church and loving Jesus and learning about him and having a relationship with him. And I just knew, like, growing up, there wasn't really anyone, you know, some of the guys I looked up to in the wrestling that were like kind of bold about their faith. No one was really like saying, like, I would hear like maybe, oh, you know, this is a great victory, all glory to God, like I'm really blessed.
Yeah.
But no one was really like sharing their faith boldly, like without like unapologetically sharing their faith and being them. Me, like being me is being a light and sharing my faith. And in Matthew, I think it's like Matthew 10:38 or something like that, where he talks about like boldly, like, don't deny me. Like, if you deny me on earth, then like I might deny you in heaven. Like, that's just like, that's a serious thing. Like, you should be boldly about your faith. And so I don't care if I'm on ESPN or where I'm at, I'm still going to act the same way. And I think that a lot of people are watching. And so, you know, I want to use my platform to give glory to Jesus, because really wrestling is just something that I do. It's not who I am. It's not anything crazy. Who I am is my identity in Christ and my walk with Christ. So I try to let people know that when in interviews and when people talk to me. So yeah.
So people can't see this if they're watching this right now because of the angle of your camera, but I'd like you to back up real quick. Just stand up for a second and let people see the shirt you're wearing. And it says, Sweet Savior, Jesus, King of Kings. And it's basically in the shape of what you would look at for a Reese's, like a Reese's peanut butter cup, right?
Yeah.
So you're wearing that shirt. You're on campus at Iowa State and you're walking around campus and people are seeing that shirt. Certainly a lot of people know who you are because you're so successful as a wrestler there. What kind of, I guess, response do you get? Because I know you wore a Jesus is King shirt quite a bit before matches this year. What kind of reaction do you get? And does it open up conversations with people who might believe different or not believe anything at all and allow you to kind of share with them a little bit about the hope you have?
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, we're put on this earth to spread the gospel and to share the goodness of Jesus Christ. And so I just feel like for me, God's blessing with the personality to be open and outgoing. And so I'm not a very shy person. I'm very outgoing, very comfortable with myself. So I'm not worried about what people think too much. And so I wear the shirt and, you know, I'm going to breakfast and I'm going to different places. And a lot of people are like, wow, that's a cool shirt, or like ask me about it. And I love that. I love being able to talk about my faith. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. Just like, I think people love talking about sports and they love talking about their favorite things. They can talk about sports, their favorite color, their favorite movie, but not enough people talk about Jesus Christ being their favorite thing, being their thing that they love. And so this shirt is just another way to spread the gospel. So a few people have asked me about it. Someone like just coming here to the, this is like a public place where I live. And this person was like, oh, whoa, like, that's a cool shirt. Like, I'm a fan. Like, that's cool, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, thanks. But, like, it's for sure a thing of, like, before matches and things like that. I just think it's so important for people to know that where I draw my strength from. When I say 100% Jesus, it's like everything I have is because of the grace and love that Jesus has given me. Everything I have. It's because of him, and I'm ultimately thankful, and I try to share that with people through a t-shirt, through my words, through actions, things like that.
It wasn't just a couple months ago where you finished as the NCAA runner-up this year in 2023, one match short, if you will. How are you able to find joy and hope and not let, like you said, your identity is found in Christ, not in, you know, what you do, but yet you still want to be champion? How are you able to find joy and handle a loss like that and know that God still has you?
Well, I just know that, you know, God has sovereign power over all things. He has authority over all things. And I just know that I have a lot of joy because, one, I prepared, you know, I trained well, and, you know, I wasn't able to win, but I just know that even though I didn't win, glory was still given to the Lord of how I can react, how people interact with me. A lot of joy comes through that. And I also think that, you know, it's not all about winning. You know, I think people get wrapped up in, yes, I want to be a national champion. I want to have a national championship ring. Yeah. I want everything that comes along with it. But it's, you have to be courageous and you have to want to do those things. And you have to understand that that might not happen. And that might be God's plan. I might be more blessed and more happy and more joyful, even though I didn't win, because God was able to impact so many people through me being a light. So like, I can't bring a national championship to heaven. I can help bring people to heaven. We come here as dust. We leave as dust. I can't bring a bunch of rings, Olympic rings and national championships. Can I share my testimony? Can I impact little kids that look up to me? Can I share the gospel and 6 million people watch the NCAA tournament, watch me walk out with a Jesus King? They watch me wear a headband the whole tournament. That's impacting people to ask, well, I like watching this guy wrestle. What's different about him? What is it about his faith? Even though he lost a national championship, it doesn't even seem like it rattled him. And so that's why I want people to take away more than me just winning. And that's what gives me joy, that I'm helping people get closer to God and that they know that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior.
Your answer is very similar to a buddy of yours, Brock Purdy, who we had on this podcast back in January, or actually it was February. And we talked to him the week before the Super Bowl, and it was right after he had come off that that tough loss to the Eagles in the NFC Championship, and he got hurt and hurt his elbow, and he was gracious to come on. And I said, how do you find joy in the midst of losing? And he said, because it's not about the winning and losing, you know, in the sense of God's constant and he doesn't change. And your answer is very similar. You and Brock probably know each other, I would imagine, right? You guys cross paths.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm friends with Brock. He's an awesome guy. I mean, so humble, outstanding person.
Yeah.
We were the same major. So, you know, we had class together. We hung out a few times. And obviously, he's a very popular guy. But he was definitely, when he was here, you know, being a quarterback, being the face of a football program, so humble and so courageous. Like, he wasn't, like, if someone asked him about his faith, he wouldn't shy away from it. And I think even his senior year, he was telling me, like, hey, I really want to, like, be out more. I really want to make more friends and really try to be more available. Because he kind of is more chill and laid back and kind of does his own thing. But I really saw him come out of his own and be a leader and really be an awesome light for Christ. And then I love watching his interviews and stuff and listen to, like, you know, even though he's, you know, has all the success and he's doing big things, he's still leaning on Christ. He's not making the sport of football bigger than what it needs to be. You know, I think the same thing for wrestling. It's I want to be an Olympic champion. I want to be a national champion. You know, those are my goals. But at the end of the day, it's just a sport. I have a bigger picture in mind of helping thousands and helping many people come to Christ. And you know, it's Christ that saves. But I hope that I can just plant a seed that they can ask, like, man, let me – what do I need to know about Jesus Christ? You know, I hear all these athletes talk about him. What I want to have a relationship with him.
Here's David Carr from Iowa State. He's Cyclones wrestling champ, the NCAA runner-up this past year, 2021 NCAA champion, and third place in 22. That's interesting, David. When I read that, I'm like, man, you had the highest, the second highest, and the third highest in each experience that you would basically say you could have, right, as a wrestler the last 3 years. What did you take away from each of those as far as being the champion, third place, and even this last year being runner-up? I'm sure there's lessons from God in the midst of each of those accomplishments. What do you think he was teaching you through each of those?
Well, I think, you know, winning a national title, he showed me a lot. And I think that, you know, when I won, it really just showed me, like, how I was just so grateful for what God had done in my life. And I really just gave that season to him. And the next year, you know, I was like, man, I got to win again. There's a little bit more pressure. You're doing things. And I really feel like it was a real struggle because I really thought, like, I was like, man, this is the year I'm winning our national title. And it was kind of like, you know, once I lost, it was like, wow. It was kind of like a gut check of, like, Jesus was like, this is what I felt like Jesus was telling me. What God was telling me is just like, you say you trust me. Now let's see if you trust me. You tell everybody, oh, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's my identity. Now let's see if your identity is in Christ. You say that I'm sovereign. Okay, let's see it. I'm putting you in a situation where this is a goal that you want. You've worked all season. This is something you care a lot about, but you can't have it right now. Now let's see if you can still trust me. I lean on the story of Job. Job is this faithful servant, has a loving family, has riches, and the enemy is like, hey, please let me test Job. And again, you know, Jesus is the king. He's a man. That dude, G-O-D, he's the best. And the enemy can't do anything without the Lord being like, okay, yeah, I'll let you. Like, he has to ask God for permission to test Job.
Yeah.
And he tests Job, and he takes away his health, or takes away his land, takes away his family. Yeah. I mean, this dude just pretty much has, like, nothing. Besides, I think his wife is still with him. And he just says, I came in this world naked, and I leave this world naked. Like, I'm not going to curse God. And die. This sounds like I'm supposed to die. And he just goes through all these things. And then at the end of it, God blesses him double, like, gives him everything double. And so, you know, when I'm losing a wrestling match and not winning a national championship that year, that was very hard. But if the worst thing that happens to me is losing a wrestling match, I'm blessed. Like, if me losing a wrestling match is the worst thing that happens, I've had a good life. And so I put that in perspective. I wrestled back. So in wrestling, you lose. You have to wrestle back. And it's, I think that's something that's hard in other sports. Like you lose a football game, you go home. You lose a UFC fight, you're done. You lose a boxing match, you're done. In wrestling, just like in a bracket or a basketball March Madness bracket, like if you lose, you can still continue and wrestle back until you get third. And that's hard because you're not getting what you want. You wanted the gold, and now you have to wrestle for the bronze. And you wrestle a bunch of matches back. So I felt like that was good character development. And then this past year, same thing. You know, the goal was obviously to win a national title. I didn't get there. I think that's just God saying, hey, you got to continue to trust me. Continue to believe in me. Continue to know that I know what's best. God knows what's best. I don't have enough understanding to know what's best. You know, we only use this much of our brain, and yeah. Jesus created everything. So obviously I don't know. Winning a national title might not be what's best for me. And I think the Lord has a greater plan. You know, Romans 8:18 says the present suffering you're going through can't compare to the glory that's coming that will be revealed. Yeah. And so I just think there's something better.
That's really good, David. Who's discipled you? You mentioned being a PK, and certainly growing up as a pastor's kid, like there's discipleship happening in your house. But when you get to Iowa State and you're on your own and you're trying to be the best wrestler you can be, and you know, that's an interesting time to be a young man when you're trying to grow up and you're still 18, 19, 20 years old. There's a lot to learn, right? Like, who's discipling you? How'd you stay connected to God and learn more about him through someone else? Who was those people for you?
So one, I would say one of my best friends, his name is Dan Essex. So when I got to college, I met him. And when my freshman year, he really was like, you know, I told him, I want to go to church. I want to keep growing closer to my faith. And he was a guy that was like, yeah, me too. And we kind of just try to get closer to faith together. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a car or anything, so he would drive me everywhere. And so he really helped me just having that community. And then mentorship, I remember this guy, there's a salt company here, which is like this college ministry. And in the salt company, they have C groups, which is called a connection group. So they have a leader, and then you have a bunch of students. And they just talk about their faith. They talk about the message. And you meet outside of church to help grow. It's like a Bible study. And then there's like a group where they lead the leaders. And so this guy came up to me and was like, hey, I want you to be in my group. Dan's in my group, which is one of my best friends. And I was like, oh, you know, I was telling Dan, I was like, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's for me. You know, I'll go to church. You know, I don't know if I want to, you know, be in a group, you know, and all that stuff. And then finally the dude was like, oh, you should come. He came and invited me again. And I was like, okay, I'll go. He's like, if you don't like it, you don't have to stay in the group. And then I ended up loving it because my relationship with Christ grew so much. And I truly learned what it meant to be a man of God. Like, I'd only seen examples of people who were older, like my dad, his friends, yeah. People at the church, a lot older than me. You know, I hadn't seen any good example of good college Christians just walking the walk and glorifying God. Like most of the kids that I knew on my team and other sports, they were kind of just doing their own thing. And so I met this awesome group of guys, and the leader was just showing me like, hey, while you're in college, you can be a faithful presence. Mm-hmm. You can impact people. You have a voice. You can lead well. You can do this, and you can repent of your sins, and we repent of sins and talk about temptation, how we could deal with it better. And I was just like, wow, like, I never even thought of this. You know, I'm thinking of like the enemy had put me in this thing of like, oh, you can figure out how to deal with this when you're 30 or when you're older, like your dad. You can figure out how to deal with this when you're this. This sin will just go away when you get married. Like, no, you got to like learn how to combat and learn how to deal with those things now so you can be a fruitful presence. And so that's what I really learned in that group. And my family, actually, my mom and dad actually moved out to Ames too. So they're close by too. So my dad obviously mentoring me, telling me, one, that, you know, you can be great, but also that, hey, you know, the Lord, Jesus Christ has you in his hand, and, you know, nothing can, once you're in his hand, nothing can take you from it. So.
No, that's good. I mean, yeah, it's obviously important to have our parents, you know, if you can, to disciple our kids, but to have those people around you that are in the life that you're living, that's awesome. Then those C groups, as you call them, I think they're any kind of small group setting as a believer is vital because you can't, you know, you can't, you can learn a lot in church, and people should go to church and be around a collection of believers. But when you get in those group settings of 2, 3, 4 people, that's when you can get real, right? That's when you can get underneath, underneath the surface a little bit.
Yeah. So I remember this quote that they told me, I learned this from church, but they were just like, say you're dealing with something, say you're dealing with a sin or something, self-confidence, maybe you don't have confidence in yourself, some stuff like that. If you don't bring it into the light, it will grow in the dark like mold. So if you have something, mold grows in the dark. But if I'm a Christian and I have a small group, and not that you got to tell everybody, but telling just a group of people you trust that are faithful, if you tell them, they can help you and pray for you and help you see the right path. And so you want to bring it in the light. And so that was something that I really learned that I thought was good. And also something that I saw that I thought was funny. It was like a picture, and it was something like, you can't get spiritually strong if you only work out once. Like if you only go to church once a week.
Yeah.
It's like, have you seen something like that? You know
yes.
what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's like, what do they say? You got to exercise your faith just like you exercise for whatever you're doing. Right.
Yeah. So like as an athlete, I really took to that. It says, here it is. I found it. It's hard to get in shape spiritually if you only work out on Sunday.
Can you imagine only practiced or worked out once a week, David, for your job?
Yeah. I wouldn't be a champion.
Yes.
I can't be a champion if I'm only working out once a week. So I really realized that if I wanted to have a good relationship with Christ and grow, you know, I'm not with my parents every day. I'm not, you know, I'm on my own in college, you know, as a freshman. I'm thinking like, how can I grow if I'm only going to church on Sunday? And so I put training blocks. I would put blocks where I could get better and like learn more about the Bible, get more friends that were in community. And so like Thursday or Monday, I go to FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes or Athletes in Action. So they have that where all the athletes come, where that's me and Brock Purdy met and hung out. Yep. And then so Monday would do that. Thursday would be the Salt Company, the church, the college ministry. And then Sunday would be like the regular church where I'd see, you know, everyone in the community. And then throughout the week, you know, I just read my Bible. And I started growing and getting a relationship with Christ and telling people about what Christ had done for me.
Yeah, that's good. That's what it is. It's you know, sharing your faith, it's praying, it's fellowshipping, it's all of that. It's getting in the Word. I notice you post a lot of scripture on your Instagram, and you also post a couple pictures of your Bible. And you have that Bible where you can write in the margins, which I thought was really interesting. How has that helped you? Because I think a lot of people here who listen are looking for ways to grow in their faith, especially in their reading of scripture, which is vital. That's part of the exercising of our faith, right? But I see you write in the margins there. I thought that was a really cool thing.
Yeah. So I had, you know, as I was growing, once I got to college and growing more in my faith, and I remember just thinking like, you know, the Bible I had, I was like, man, I just wish I could like take notes. I wish I could do this. And so I ordered a real nice Bible. It's like a journal Bible. And so there's a space where you can take notes, you can draw pictures, you can do a lot of stuff. And so I have a little artsy side to me, and I like taking notes. And so I started doing that, and I started understanding the Bible at a deeper level. And I would go back and look, and I was like, wow, like I'm really breaking down. I'm understanding the context. I'm understanding. Another thing that's good is the Bible Project. And the Bible Project is like these little videos with pictures that explain. They give you background. Hey, this is a letter, or this is written for this. This is the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so it just helped me understand the Bible at a deeper level. And then I could take notes and draw things that would help me connect it. So then if I'm in, you know, a Bible study group, I would show some of the guys, and they're like, wow, that makes sense. Oh, man, the way you explain it, and then the notes on the side, blah, blah, blah. And so I remember just being like, I should post this. I feel like I should show this. Maybe this someone will like that. Maybe someone will, you know, see that and say, hey, this is a good way for me to learn. And so I think everyone learns differently. Yeah. And the way I learned taking notes and drawing pictures, and that way I can remember and tell people better, is do that. So that was just another a cool thing that I started doing.
Yeah, the Bible Project, by the way, they're all on YouTube if you're listening. Yep. You just go right on YouTube and search the book that you want to read and put in Bible Project after it, like Romans Bible Project, and you'll get these 7-minute, 8-minute videos that explain the entire book so you understand context, which I think a lot of people just want to read verses, David, and I'm not neglecting that. We all should get whatever we can to feed our souls from God's word. But man, when you understand context, you read it in a completely different way, like you just described.
Yeah. And so I remember that was one of the problems that I had in high school is I was like, I'd be like, you know, they'd tell you should read your Bible, open it more. And I would try. I'm like, man, it just feels boring. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And so when I got to college, they kind of showed me like, no, this is like, this, you can really understand, not that just reading verses and posting verses are fine, but you know, it's not like, you know, like you can't just open a fortune cookie and I just tell you, like, it's not just something you can just quote and share. You want to know when you're really sharing a verse, I want to read the verses before it, behind it, learn the context and understand how I can apply it to my life. And then, okay, I really like this. Now I'm going to share this. I'm not just going to, oh, I like how this sounds. Let me just, you know, I really want to understand it. And I think that's what God's put on my heart to, you know, okay, take notes on this. Understand it. When I'm at church, I'm taking notes. I'm trying to understand how can I apply this to my life? How can I pray? Who can I pray for? Things like that. And I feel like that's really what's given me so much peace and it's really helped me in my journey.
No, that's really good. He is David Carr. All right, my last question. What's next? You're coming back, right? You want to get a championship next year. That's the goal. You also said Olympic champion someday. So how's that, you know, playing into your goals and, you know, even into next year and then beyond?
Yeah, so, you know, next year, you know, again, we're starting from ground zero, just training, everything like that. But next year I'm coming back. And the ultimate goal, the pinnacle of college wrestling is a NCAA national championship. And yeah, I mean, that's every year that's going to be the goal. I want to keep growing as a wrestler, keep growing my character, my faith. Those are some of the goals outside of wrestling. And then after that, the Olympics is next year. So my dad, I'm fortunate enough to have such a great family. My dad and my uncle are both Olympians. And my family is very decorated when it comes to the sport of wrestling. And so I have some great people around me that can help me reach those goals because they've been there before. They know what it takes, and they're be able to push me to try to do that. So it's very difficult, but I like a challenge. So that's the goal, is to try to win nationals, try to make the Olympic team. If not this Olympic cycle, the next Olympic cycle, try to make that team, and then wherever life takes me from there.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about going to seminary school too, so I don't know if I'll be a preacher, but I think it's good to equip knowledge and learn more so that we're able to share it in a better way.
Well, you don't have to be a pastor to be a preacher, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like you're a preacher right now. I'm a preacher, right? Like we're called to be light in a dark world. We're called to make disciples. We're called to preach the gospel wherever we go. So seminary is a certainly something that can help out, I'm sure, in that regard.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So. Well, David, I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show. You're awesome. We'll be rooting for you, and all the best to you. And let's have a conversation maybe a year from now and see where the Lord takes you. How's that sound?
Absolutely. All right, that sounds great. Thank you again.
Absolutely. Many thanks to David Carr for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. He's awesome. He's got such a great personality. Such an open boldness about the way that he goes and shares the gospel, but you can also sense a lot of humility and a lot of love for the people around him, which is it's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the trait that Jesus has told us to live our lives. That's what Paul talks about in Galatians, carrying the fruit of the Spirit as followers of Jesus. I sensed a lot of that in talking to David Carr, 4-time NCAA All-American, a 2001 NCAA champion, the runner-up this past year in 2023. And I'm going to take a guess in 2024, we're going to have another conversation with David, and the outcome in that final match might be a little different. That's just a guess, but I have a feeling that God has orchestrated David Carr's steps, whatever happens on the wrestling mat, to glorify him. And that was a lot of fun talking to David Carr. here on Sports Spectrum. Thank you for tuning in as well. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, that follow button on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on so that you can subscribe and never miss a conversation, another conversation like the one that we had today with David Carr. We appreciate you guys. We thank you for tuning in and joining us here on Sports Spectrum. Make sure you check out our website each and every day. Maybe tell someone about what we're doing here at Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith. My name is Jason Romano. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Sports Spectrum's podcast. Have a great rest of your day.